From 91.5 KRCC in Colorado Springs, this is Air Check, a show about great music in the Pikes Peak region and beyond. I'm Vicki Gregor.
I'm Jeff Beery.
And I'm Jake Brownell. Today on Air Check, Jeff, Vicki, and I go back to our roots and bring you our favorite picks from the last month in the musical roundtable. And then we get an in-studio visit from Chris Thomas King of O Brother Where Art Thou fame, who recently played the 12th annual Blues Under the Bridge Festival. Stay tuned. As usual, we begin the show with our musical roundtable, where we go around the table and we each share a song we haven't been able to get out of our heads this last month. And you know what? For the last few months, we've had a special guest with us for this musical roundtable. But this month, we thought we'd kick it old school, go back to our roots, and just get together. Vicki, me, Jeff.
The trio.
Yeah, like the Three Stooges.
Just less funny.
Guaranteed.
So let's start things off with you, Jeff.
Okay, I've chosen a new release from a cartoon band. The first time I saw this band, I think it was at a Grammys performance, and it was just cartoon characters on stage. Gorillaz is spearheaded by Damon Albarn. And this new CD is called The Now Now. The tune I've chosen off of this new CD is called Idaho. And it's a song about Idaho, which you don't hear a lot of songs about Idaho. So I thought we'd have a listen to that one. Damon Albarn, Gorillaz, kind of an angry anime band. That's how I think of them. But great music. Kind of moody, kind of out of control. Something's a little out of control about it. And this is kind of like a spaghetti western version of Gorillaz music for me.
Well, you know, I love Damon Albarn. I worship at the altar of Damon and Blur. You know, Blur is the band that he's known for, among others. He's got a couple other projects. I like this way better than last year's Humans. Mm-hmm. He's pretty prolific, doing two full Gorillaz records basically in a year's time.
Yeah, this is a lot more pastoral than what I typically think of when I think of the Gorillaz. And also like that on the album, there's all these sort of geographic names, Idaho, there's Kansas on there. You get that nice effect of like a British person, European, fantasizing about the American heartland in some way, in the West and the Midwest. And it's always sort of interesting to hear that, the way that a person who's not from here kind of envisions and imagines the American landscape.
You know, I know some Gorillaz fans might be a little, I don't want to say disappointed. It might not be what they were hoping for, but yet, if you're a Blur or Damon fan, like I am, I've already said this, it's lovely, and I really like that song.
Good pick, Jeff. That's Idaho from the Gorillaz off their new CD, The Now Now.
All right, Jake, today, what's it going to be?
Well, today I have a song by an artist called Mormor. That's M-O-R-M-O-R. And this is the title track from his new EP, Heaven's Only Wishful.
Just a poor boy.
I like it.
Catchy, groovy, kind of addictive to me. This is the work of Seth Nyquist, 26 years old, and just put out this debut EP, and I just think it's such a great melody, and just kind of keeps me hitting repeat as it
Is it just him,
through.
Jake? Is it just...
Yeah, it's basically
it's another
just
situation
his,
where...
his brainchild, yeah. Kind of like a... like a Tame Impala type or something, you know, this lives in the studio and kind of just manifesting his musical vision in the studio and making some really cool stuff.
What's beautiful about that, too, is, I mean, although working with a band has all the lovely parts of what that is, when it's tumbling from your own head and you are constructing it all, it's exactly what you're hearing. So there, that carries over for the listener as well.
I got to admit, I was a little freaked at the beginning there when there was a scream. I mean, there's this really nice kind of... and then there was a blood-curdling scream.
Yeah. I don't know what he's going for there, just to snap you to attention.
Yeah, it did. It did.
It worked.
All right, well, that's Mormor, and the song is Heaven's Only Wishful from his debut album of the same name.
With luck, I can break this feeling.
Vicky?
I'm ready.
You ready? All right. What'd you pick?
This is a band, fairly new. They've got a few years under their belt. They're called The Creation Factory. They're out of L.A., and they make the most beautiful, psychedelic, fuzzy, 60s-drenched mod music I've heard in a while. And the name of this song is I Don't Know What to Do.
These guys nail it.
They've got the look all the way. They've used vintage gear. It's all gear that was, you know, popular and created in the 60s. So it's a thing, you know, and they've got the music to back it up. And really, one song after another is a 2-3 minute gem, and then on to the next.
Yeah, this is true throwback. Almost hard to distinguish from the real thing in some sense. And
do you think they're living in the past, you guys? Do you think it's just not letting go of the past?
I just think there's a lot of that tribe of which I'm a member, that something about psychedelic and 60s music really, really grabbed hold hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're playing those records for your kids or generations after that, I think it just got into their psyche as well. And, you know, tambourine. How can you resist tambourine? You just can't.
It's like everything kind of moves in cycles, and this is definitely, to me, a bit of an, you know, eschewing of the, like, more contemporary pop production, and this is just sort of a kickback to the garagey, jangly, fuzzy, you know, Devil May Care, just getting together and playing some rock music.
Yeah, that's it.
Having
exactly.
a good time.
Yep. We've got instruments. We've got a garage. My belt has a big square buckle on it.
And we got a tambourine.
We're not afraid to use it.
And we're not afraid to use it.
The Creation Factory! ! On Lollipop Records! !
All right, that's it for our musical roundtable. We don't have a guest to ask to plug an event or something coming up, but I actually did want to plug something that I thought was pretty cool that NPR did, that's on their website at npr.org. I don't know, maybe you guys have seen this. It's the 200 Greatest Songs by 21st Century Women. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah. I was thrilled by that.
It's this amazing compilation that they've put together of 200 songs counting down to number one of the best, most influential, most important songs by women from the 21st century. And they've got everything on there from Adele to Grimes to Beyonce to all kinds of folks, pop, indie, whatever.
Cut to the Chase, who's number one?
MIA, Paper Planes. I fly like paper, get high like planes. If you catch me at the border, I go visit them and then. If you come around here,
really?
Yep. Right next to, though, Anais Mitchell. I mean, they really they really cover a lot. Every top 40, you know, not every. From the year 2000, Jeff, is what they're looking
18
at.
18 years.
Yeah, 18 years.
We'll have that on our website for you to look at.
That's a rabbit hole that I had trouble climbing out of.
I have to say, I don't envy whoever had the task of choosing number one. I'm sure it, you know, went through layers of editorial decision making, but how you would go about doing that is beyond me. Anyways, that concludes the musical roundtable. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
As always, a pleasure. Good to be back at the table with you.
Yeah,
all.
I missed you.
My friends.
This year, the 12th annual Blues Under the Bridge Festival featured some great bands. The headliner, of course, was Los Lobos, and another international talent named Chris Thomas King shared the stage as well. For those of you who aren't well-versed in blues music, you may know Chris from his film work. Perhaps his most recognizable role was that of Tommy Johnson, the blues musician who sold his soul to the devil at the crossroads in the Coen Brothers film, O Brother, Where Art Thou?
What did the devil give you for your soul, Tommy?
Well, they taught me to play this here guitar real good.
Oh, son, for that you traded your everlasting soul?
Well, I wouldn't use me.
Chris Thomas King made it into the 91.5 KRCC studios to talk with Jeff Bury about his work and to play a couple songs.
This is Chris Thomas King from New Orleans, and this song is called The Blues Was Born in Louisiana from my new album, Hotel Voodoo. The blues was born in Louisiana. not Mississippi or Texarkana. The blues was born in Louisiana, not Mississippi or Texarkana. Down in New Orleans, where the blues was born, you can still hear the sound of Buddy Bolden's horn. From the back of town to down the Esplanade, form a second line and join my parade. I said the blues was born in Louisiana, not Mississippi or Texarkana. I said the blues was born in Louisiana, not Mississippi or Texarkana. See, it's a French word they don't understand. How can it be sad when it makes you want to dance? There's a smile on the face of everyone you meet down on the corner of Frenchman Street. I said the blues was born in Louisiana, not Mississippi or Texarkana. I said the blues was born in Louisiana, not Mississippi or Texas.
Lucky to have the likes of Chris Thomas King in the studios. And again, thank you for making the time.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, born and raised in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And you argue that Louisiana is the birthplace of the blues. Is that right?
Yes.
It's not Mississippi? I kind of thought it was Mississippi.
Yeah, that's because that's what we've all been told. But, you know, there's all these, you know, folklorists and people that have wanted to place it there. But then when they go and place it there, then they can't find any evidence of it. And then they just say, oh, well, but this is probably where it came from. But they don't provide us a photograph. They don't provide eyewitness account. They don't provide, oh, this is the venue they played in. There's nothing until around the late 20s.
That's a good lead into your book. You say you've been writing a book for nearly a decade now.
Right.
You're featured on the cover of Living Blues magazine talking about the book.
Yeah, and the way this got started, I've been asked a few times, you know, if people wanted to, someone maybe wanted to do a little bio on me or do some kind of, you know, when I kind of blew up in early 2000s, you know, with the movies and things like that, you know, I was being pulled in all kinds of directions. But I was moving too fast, and I didn't want to just do a local boy makes good kind of record, you know. I mean, book, you know. I wanted to, you know, do something, you know, with some substance or whatever to it. And my father was a blues musician.
Right.
And he had, I grew up, you know, in my family's jug joint, you know, Tabby's Blues Box, downtown Baton Rouge. And he had a stroke, and he was dealing with some dementia. And I was working with Louisiana State University to try to get some stories out of him on his good days, you know, when he could remember who I was or whatever, because he kept thinking that I was some guy that he was running around with, you know, back in. So I was like, man, you know, I used to tell him that's not me. I wasn't there.
Right.
I wasn't even born yet, you know. But then I just started playing along, like, yeah, that was awesome, wasn't it? You know. So my dad was waning, and so we started trying to, you know, collect his memories. And I was going to use some of that and write a memoir about growing up in a jug joint. And Louisiana State gave me a contract to do the book on a pitch. And I started trying to write the book. And then so I started researching, you know, things. And I started finding out all these things of myths and legends and folktales.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, they still have the whole crossroads thing. It's not even in the fiction section, you know, it's next to Harry Potter. It's still, you know, seen as nonfiction.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So I realized early on that I couldn't do that book. And then I got down to serious business to start critiquing a lot of this outdated, antiquated literature that we have surrounding this music. So, so ostensibly, people have this idea that the blues came from Mississippi, that it's a downtrodden music, work songs, another fallacy, you know, music from slaves, another fallacy, music from Africa, another fallacy. And so the book ended up being a memoir, but also going off and giving history to and demystifying. Nobody from the blues culture have, you know, from this culture have really told the proper narrative. And so...
Working title, Chris? You've got the working title in mind?
So the working title on my book is The Authentic Narrative of My Music and Culture Therewith.
All right.
It may change a little later, but that's the working title.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
Yeah.
Let's jump back a little bit. You started recording actively, seriously, back in the early 90s?
Earlier.
I read a little bit about how you were sort of run out of town by the blues mafia. You went to Europe. You decided Europe was the better place. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? What was that about?
Well, you know, people might be wondering, well, who is the blues? Maybe they know who the blues mafia is. I don't know. But the blues mafia is this loose consortium of record collectors, you know, who... They're the guys that are responsible for this silly narrative that we have about the blues. They wrote these books to promote their record collections, to try to make them more valuable.
White boys.
Yeah, but they're primitivists. The more primitive, the more authentic. You know, they're Negro primitive cultural brokers, is what they are, and they had very powerful positions. You know, they were the authority. And so that's who the blues mafia is. But they call the blues mafia because if you don't fall in line with their narrative, they can do a Jimmy Hoffa on you, make your career disappear.
Right. So they were strong-arming you.
Yeah.
Dictating what...
I mean, I was doing, like, we've established, I grew up in the blues and stuff. And then I'm of the hip-hop generation, so I'm starting to do some sampling and some rapping and using... this new technology to create my ideas and put my music out there. And that was blasphemy for them, you know, because first of all, you know, I was discovered by folklorists from the Library of Congress in 79. So that's how I got started.
Right.
Similar to like Muddy Waters, Lead Belly, you know, people like that. So I'm supposed to be this primitivist this primitive artist that's not supposed to be dealing with technology, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm hardly supposed to be playing an electric guitar.
Right.
You know, and even though I had some success and stuff, then when I went in that direction, they shut me down. And I ended up moving to Europe. I lived in Europe for a few years before finally deciding to come back.
And how'd you find Europe? I mean, how did it suit you?
Well, when I first left America in the early 90s and moved to London, it was just... London was more the same.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the music business was very Americanized, you know. So,
how about the French? Did they fare any better?
The French embraced me, and you know, wrote fantastic things about my music and stuff. But then again, you got that relationship with Louisiana and the French,
right?
And Black American, difficult Black. "Quote unquote difficult Black American artists in the French,"
right?
That goes back. Now, you know, I know these things now because I've researched them, but at the time I didn't know what the connection was, why the French was celebrating me, and you know, I couldn't get you know anything going in America, or in Britain. But I spent most of my time living in Copenhagen, and in Copenhagen, the further I got, like in Scandinavia, they weren't so indoctrinated into that whole narrative. You know, you just say, hey, man, I want to play, you know, a 21-bar tune, a 32-bar tune. They say, okay, what key is it in?
Yeah, right, right.
There's no big discussion about, oh, you can't do, these are the rules and all of that. You know, I could reinvent myself or be more true to myself,
right,
living in Scandinavia. And so when I came back to America, I came back with an album that I recorded in Copenhagen called 21st Century Blues from the Hood. And it was a dangerous record.
Dangerous.
Yeah, and it was a lot of fun.
So The Coen Brothers movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? You play Tommy Johnson, kind of a very closely aligned character to Robert Johnson, who makes a deal with the devil at the crossroads. That's pretty primitive. How does that fit in with what you're talking about? Was it going against your grain to do that, or how did it feel playing that character?
Well, it felt great playing the character, and it was awesome because, you know, I was in the hands of, you know, people who were at the height of their profession. I mean, you know, Joel and Ethan, they can write, you know, they can tell stories, and they're very, very clever.
Let me ask this.
Yeah.
Are Joel and Ethan part of the Blues Mafia?
No, they're not part of the Blues Mafia. The thing is as an artist, as an actor, let's say if somebody wanted some great female actress to play a witch, mm-hmm. you know, and she takes that role and she plays that role. But when she goes to the grocery store, people don't think, oh, there's the witch.
Right.
Hide the kids, you know, she's coming, you know. So the thing with me is like, allow me to be an actor in a fictional movie. We're making a spoof of all these backward, you know, we had the One-Eyed Cyclops, John Goodman. It's a spoof. It's a spoof on old superstition. And, you know, it has so many layers, that script. So in that context, it was a lot of fun. And it was freeing.
Mm-hmm.
But when I come and do my music, that's a character. Allow me as Chris Thomas King to say, okay, now here's my new album, Hotel Voodoo. And it's two different things. That was a character I was playing. I could have been playing the president, that don't mean I'm the president, you know,
right.
I mean, I'm not making any laws or anything. So I'm saying that's part of the problem is that it limits your choices as an artist. It limits what you can do as an artist. And because they make the African-American blues person, like his work is artifact. But then when Picasso do it, it's art.
Right.
As part of fact, you know, when we do it and when Bob Dylan interpret it, you know, then it's art.
Right.
You know, we can't make art. We don't have the minds and, you know, to do it and the makeup and the wherewithal. We're like artifacts waiting to be discovered.
Right.
And this is just some antiquated stuff that needs to be, you know, put it on the shelf in the past.
So your path is to dispel that,
well,
that idea, really.
Yeah, I mean, because then people start thinking, I sold my soul to the devil.
Right, right.
Like, did you really? Did you really? And it's like, it's. I've been asked that many times.
So apart from the writing and your film work, where are you going? Where's your musical direction going?
My new album is called Hotel Voodoo.
Right. It's a rocking album. It's electrified.
Yeah, it's all of that, and it's a fun album, and it took me 5 years to make this thing, so I'm very happy with the way it turned out.
It sounds solid, for sure.
Yeah.
It's a solid release. You inspired to sing any songs?
Yeah. That'd be
great, man.
All right. So we talked about Old Brother, Where Art Thou, Hard Time Killing Floor Blues. Long, 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 long. hard times will drive you from door to door.
That was Jeff Bury speaking with Chris Thomas King. You're listening to Air Check from 91.5 KRCC.
That's it for this episode of Air Check. Be sure to check out our website, krcc.org, for the top 200 greatest songs by 21st century women. And for more about the program and the artists that we've talked about today, you can like us on Facebook and download the podcast of the show on iTunes. For Air Check at 91.5 KRCC, I'm Jeff Bury.
I'm Jake Brownell.
I'm Vicki Gregor.